Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. The first epistle to the Corinthians is a letter written by St. Paul to those sanctified in the church of Corinth. He writes this letter to quell quarrels and disunity and divisions that had merged this church. St. Paul's goal was to guide these saints back into what really mattered, understanding Christ and working and the workings of the Spirit in the life of the Christians at the time. So in the epistle reading this morning, we read from the 12th chapter of this letter on a topic concerning spiritual gifts. Paul was writing again to this church because he wanted to educate them on what and how gifts worked. In the first verse, he says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Or as our Book of Common Prayer says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." Ignorant, he says this multiple times in the letters that he writes, because for St. Paul, understanding God was essential to the life of a Christian. Ignorance for the sake of a Christian was never an excuse. It wasn't then, and I don't think it should be today. I remember in my what we call canonical exam, when I was doing exams in order to be ordained as a deacon, I had to sit for a written exam and an oral exam. And in my oral exam, the archbishop and the bishop looked at me and said, "Darius, if you pass this exam, will you have finished everything you need to know about studying? Will you continue taking classes here and there to continue being on top of things?" And I think that was rather a trick question. Because whoever stops studying, mindless of which, whatever field you are in life, learning is consistent. If it isn't necessarily about what you're doing, it's about the news, you have to continue reading to know what's going on, you know, it's finances, it's health, you know, there's a consistent attitude that we have to bring in life if we're to continue growing and excelling in life. Growth and understanding and education alike is part of the Christian life. If we are to continue growing in our spiritual walk, we have to learn. And evidently the people in Corinth, the church in Corinth, had stalled because here they're disunited because of certain issues that they're dealing with, and specifically for spiritual gifts. Paul seems to begin at the point of ignorance or being uninformed. So that's why he's writing to them this particular, "I do not want you to be uninformed." And he goes on to say that you remember when you were pagans, remember when you were still Gentiles before you had come into the fold of Christ. Now here he makes a differentiation. He differences the life that these people had prior to knowing Christ and the life that they had in Christ. Now again, he's writing this letter to Christians. He isn't writing it to people who have never heard of Christ. He isn't writing it to pagans. He's writing it to people like you and I who would have been in a church. And right there and then you begin to see with the idea of spiritual gifts, there's a notion of education, not being ignorant, versus that those who are not living in the Spirit being ignorant and unlearned. Saint Chrysostom talks, he references a wise philosopher when he's talking about when they were still pagans, this verse on when they were still pagans and they were led by mute idols, the Bible says. He says, before these people came to Christ, they used to follow men who were very smart, who talk a good game, but they themselves didn't understand what they were saying because they were not doing it from with the Spirit of God. So evidently, St. Paul is beginning from a notion of we have to begin by separating those who are Christians and what it means to be a Christian versus those who are not Christians, or those who are being led by people, or mute idols, who do not know, who do not live in the Spirit. He goes on to say that, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except he's saved because of the Holy Spirit. Again, there's ignorance versus knowledge. There's mute idols versus the Spirit of God. And now here we come to Jesus is accursed versus Jesus is Lord. And again, Paul is trying to educate and remind them that for you who have decided to become Christians, this is the way you ought to be. The Spirit grants unto you wisdom. The Spirit is that of Christ. And the Spirit is he who declares Jesus as Lord, all through the Spirit of God. And he says that all this is done unto the common good, for a common purpose. You know, the world, right, is that which is ignorant in their ways, those who follow mute idols, those who say Jesus is accursed, and now he says that the Christians do it for the common good. The Christian life is to be self-sacrificial. The common good basically means I'm not doing it for myself. These Christians who are to quell the quarrels that they were having weren't necessarily doing it for themselves. He's asking them to look at the life of Christ and to mimic their life on his life. After all, how can you and I be selfish if the man upon whom we say we believe, this Christian, this Jesus, gave up his life for you and for me, not for himself? How then are we to come into this thing called Christianity and do it for our own self? Gain our selfish reasons. That's a contradiction. That doesn't happen. Yet the people at Corinth seemingly were doing things like this. They were going and walking in ways that were absolutely contrary to what the spiritual life is. And the common good, but what's the common good? He goes on in verse 12 to equate this and to give the example of a body, right? He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, Africans or Americans, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So the thing that these people ought to have had in common, which was the Spirit of God, was the same thing that they were disregarded. The same thing that brought them together is the same thing that they didn't care for. The body is an interesting metaphor. My body, if I get sick, if I get a terrible headache and I need to go to the emergency room, I don't go to the emergency room and take off my head and say, I'll be back for you, take care of it. Let me go do chores at home, I'll be back in the evening. No, you're attached to it. So if your head suffers, you suffer too. Alike in this body of Christ, for the Corinthian people who are arguing and fighting, disunity shouldn't cause, quarrels shouldn't cause disunity. Disagreements shouldn't cause disunity. Rather, if the head has a headache, you come together, you decide on what to do, because we are all baptized with Christ in the same waters of baptism. We should all be one, Christ is telling them. They should have been one. They should have dealt with the issues they had together, because they shed one torso, which was Christ. Christ is the beginner of life. Through the power of the Spirit, he gives, grants unto his church life. And so it's very uncharacteristic of the Christian people to be disunited. And whereas it's easy for us to look at those who do not know Christ, again, those who are ignorant, those who follow mute idols, those who are selfish, probably it's more understandable. But for the Christian, for he or she who has given their life to Christ, like these people had, it was unconscionable how they could get to a point where a brother and brother cannot sit together and share a meal, how they hint at each other and creating factions amongst themselves. And here he lists a number of gifts, the spiritual gifts. He says, what does it even mean to have knowledge and wisdom, to have the working of miracles, to prophesy, to speak in tongues? All these things that in the early church, and probably to a certain degree today, you'd be like, that would be wonderful. Imagine in the church of God, if someone is sick and a brother or sister had the gift of the Spirit to heal. Right? Again, it's not them. They're employing the Spirit to heal this person. But that's such a marvelous gift, right? Yet in this position, the people who had these same gifts were saying, I cannot heal you because you're my enemy. I can't prophesy because I disagree with you. And he says, this isn't the Christian life. This isn't what it means to follow Christ. And the epitome of this is love, he says. He says, you and I could preach as amazing sermons. We could prophesy amazing prophecies. We could heal thousands of people, but if you don't have love, you're like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Essentially, that's useless. Because within the Church of Christ, we're all Christians. We've all given to the life of Christ, to following the good example that Christ set before us. And what that means primarily is emulating what he did. And it starts here with us, brothers and sisters. The Corinthian church wasn't doing it. And Paul is asking them to leave behind their disunity, leave behind the problems, and face Jesus again. Because Christ is all we have as Christians. He is the perfect leader that we ought to emulate in our daily walk and daily life. Now, this isn't to say that those who had disagreements, those who were disunited, were not Christians. No, no, not quite, because this is life, and we'll have troubles here and there. But the point of it, again, back to where it started, we should have a posture of growth, of learning, of coming back to the Word of God, and reminding us what it means to be a Christian. And that's partly why we're in church, really, is as Christians, we come to feed at the feet of Jesus. And we have in this church the blessing to partake of his body and blood every Sunday, to remind us what we believe and how, what our ethic of life should be in regard to life one another. So brothers and sisters, may this day remind us that as Christians we've been called to a higher calling like that of Christ Jesus. May it remind us to be united, not because we are worthy of loving one another, but because Christ has died and given his life for us. And we, because of that, we now have a great example. Just like Christ did, may we go forth and do to one another like Christ has graciously done for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.